We're back here at GemFest 2018. We've had one guest speaker this morning, and the best part of this morning still is, you don't have to listen to me all morning. Everybody clap about that, right, okay? Because most of you were here yesterday, and you got to listen to a whole day of me and my corny things. I'll get to you this afternoon, but we've got Dan Wagner here from Triple S, from the headquarters. And if you thought I had character and I was loud, hold on to your britches. Dan Wagner.
Thank you very much.
Were you all here for Dr. Butchko's presentation?
Yes.
Were you guys all just here? Most of you were? What did you think? Like, so I've had the opportunity to listen to Dr. Butchko present on a number of occasions. And I gotta tell you something. I hate Dr. Butchko. Because do you guys have any clue how difficult it is to present after somebody who's that good? Honestly, that's the smartest man I've ever met. And what he says, he's looking behind him like, who the hell is he talking about? What he says is so relevant to what is happening today, right? Right? So relevant. And I want to hit on one very important thing that he said this morning. Did you hear him talk about the recent generations or the generations that are coming up in the workplace and how they want to make a difference? Right? They want to take whatever it is that they're doing, whatever occupation they decide that they're going to make their career out of, they want to feel as though they're doing some good. I want you to keep that in mind as we run through this presentation, okay? A few other background things about me. I am from Chicago. I am a diehard sports fan. I do love the Cubs. I love the Blackhawks. I love the Bears. We're off to a pretty good start this year, okay? We're trying not to get too excited. I am also professionally trained as a... wait for it, a lawyer. Oh. Yeah, get that reaction a lot.
I like Chicago.
You like Chicago? Excellent. You know what? We pretend like they don't exist right now. He asked about the Bulls. But I don't want you guys to focus on me. I want you to think about yourselves. And I want to get to know a little bit about some of you. Okay? I find that one of the most interesting questions that you can ask people if you really want to get in their psyche and understand them is, when you were 9 years old, what did you want to be when you grew up? Okay? So I want everybody to think back. And you're sitting on the couch, you're 9 years old, and your mom or your dad or your crazy Uncle Dave comes up to you and says, what do you want to be when you grow up? Okay? Everybody get your memory. You're 9 years old. You got your entire future ahead of you, okay? You getting your memory? Got your memory, miss? All right. Hi, Daisy. How are you?
I'm great.
Awesome. Free high fives today. Usually $5 free for you today. Okay. All right. You're 9 years old. You got your whole future ahead of you. What do you want to be?
At nine, I just wanted to be free from my parents.
At nine?
Nine. Wow. I was ready to go at 10. I was ready to move out. By 12, I was ready to run away. I just wanted to be free. Yeah. Free from parents.
Okay, but
I was in an era where paddling was not the right word.
Your butt got torn up. You know, it wasn't a little spank on the hand. You got your butt wore out. So, by 12, I was ready to hit the road.
Keep going.
But that's it. At nine, I was just thinking, you know, planning what it was going to be like when I moved out. You remember the old books, the little thick books you used to get from JCPenney's and Sears catalogs?
Yeah.
Oh, I had mapped out my whole house. Everything was mapped out. I'm serious. Really. I was in the paper doll era. I picked out my husband. I picked out my house. I picked out my furniture. Everything. Telling you.
Hey, you asked a question.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you, Daisy. All right. So I love people, so I always start off every one of my presentations by asking that question. And I honestly never know where it's going to go. And I can tell you one thing, it's never gone there before. I'm thinking maybe I ought to grab a seat and give the mic to Daisy. She can tell us the rest, right? Okay. Hi, Julie. We'll talk later. All right, you're 8 years old. You can be anything in the world, or nine, either way. What do you want to be?
A chef.
You want to be a chef?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Let's go somebody on this side. Where's my Chicago contingent? You guys like Chicago, right, Alex? Alex?
Alex,
how are you?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Great.
Hold on, you got to wait for the mic, because Dave is technology. I know, but you got it.
9 years old?
Nine years old.
Anything. I wanted to be a police officer.
You wanted to be a police officer. Okay, I hear that quite a bit.
9 years old.
Sir, in the back, you thought you were going to sit in the back and get out of this, right? Did you hear that feedback? Okay. You're 8 years old.
I have no clue.
You had no clue?
No.
Come on.
I lived on a farm. I don't know.
So maybe you wanted to be a farmer.
No, I didn't. I knew that.
Good God. Okay. When I was 8 years old, there's only certain places I can go, huh, David? You didn't tell me that it was like a shock collar on me. Whenever I go outside the area, it goes, wee! When I was 8 years old, I wanted to play second base for the Chicago Cubs. Okay? Now, I think it's very interesting that I wanted to play for the Cubs, or that this gentleman did not want to be a farmer, right? Or that this gentleman wanted to be a police officer. And I don't even know what to say about Daisy. But I don't want you to focus on what was said. I want you to focus on what was not said. And I have asked this question, I kid you not, of probably 1,000 people at this point in my career, and I have never had a single person tell me they wanted to be in the cleaning industry. Not a single person has ever said, boy, oh boy, when I grow up, I sure want to run a cleaning contractor, or I want to, you know, purchase cleaning supplies, or whatever the case may be. Right? Why? That's the important question. Why? Because it's what?
Not sexy.
She stole my line.
What?
She said it's not sexy. No. That's amazing. Have you seen me present before?
No.
No, because Jana's right. Jana or Jana?
Jana.
Jana's right. Because it's not sexy. It's not exciting. It doesn't get the heart pumping. It doesn't get the blood flowing, right? Listen, I have spent the last 22 years of my career in the cleaning industry, and I am as passionate about the industry as one can be. I hope you share my passion. The fact that you are here today excites me, because that means that you are willing to invest your time and your energy in coming here today to learn more. You went to a cleaning festival. But let's be honest, even we don't sit around at cocktail parties talking about, you know, what's going on with the Supreme Court nominee, and who is going to win the World Series, and are the Magic going to be any good, and you've got to see this new mop and bucket I just bought. It's so cool. You don't do that, right? Right? And when we take a look at your reality, we take a look at the reality of the facility decision makers today, it's clear why. Because facility decision makers, the people who ultimately decide on the budget for cleaning, the people who ultimately decide on what we're going to do within the facilities, they got a lot of issues. They are dealing with a whole lot of things. And when they think about cleaning, not only do they not see it as sexy, right? But they don't understand what we refer to as the true power of clean. They don't understand the very real risks associated with not having a clean facility, and they also don't understand the positive side of the equation, which is the very real financial ROI that can flow from an effectively cleaned building. And so how do they ultimately look at cleaning, right? They look at it as a commodity. And they look at it as, say it again, Yana.
Cost.
Say it really loud, or else Dave's going to run over with the microphone. Cost! Right?
He said it.
This is exactly the mindset that we have to change. This is exactly the mindset that we have to change. You see, we have to make sure that we all understand and appreciate the realities of an effectively cleaned indoor environment. The fact that when you cut the budget, you will result in unintended consequences that will impact the things that people ultimately care about. What's that? Why did Henry Ford pay people $2? Why? Because he wanted to make money. right? And that when you improve your cleanliness, when you have an effectively cleaned indoor environment, it has a very real financial return on investment, resulting in occupant wellness and increased employee productivity. You see, at the end of the day, here's what we want to focus on. Is cleaning treated generally as an investment today? Oh, heck no, it's a cost to be minimized, right? But when we break it down, when we truly look at the true, what we call power of clean, we understand the very real impact it has on the things that you and your bosses and the people who ultimately decide on the cleaning budget care about. Does that make sense to everybody? Right? Now, let me ask you a question. Y'all buy, I'm assuming, from Gem Supply, right? Y'all buy from Gem Supply. Okay, Jeremy, tell me what you buy from Gem Supply.
Equipment.
Equipment, tell me a little bit more. What kind of equipment? Say it really loud, because otherwise poor David's gonna get his steps in.
I work at a Portofino Bay Hotel, and out of our capital money, we'll purchase equipment like floor machines, steam cleaners.
Wrong! Stop, you're wrong. Okay, hi Amy.
Hi.
Amy keeps looking at me like I'm nuts, by the way, every time I walk by her. What do you buy from Gem Supply?
We own the business, so whatever supplies I need, the
like
cleaners, microfiber cloth.
Wrong! Okay, come on, you come with me this time. Here you go. Ooh, we're gonna hit, let's hit the Gem people. Let's ask them a slightly different question, okay? I wanna ask you, Dennis, what do you sell?
Whatever they need.
What? Explain that. That's a good. That's a, he said. By the way, if you can't hear, he said whatever you need. Oh, Paul, knock it off. Yeah, what do you sell?
Anything that helps clean the facility.
Tell me about that. What do you sell, John? You can cheat. You can help him if you want.
Value.
You sell value. What exactly does that mean? Tell me a little bit about that.
We just try to find things that make their lives. We find their pain and try to heal their pain.
This, folks, is what you buy. This right here is what you buy. Okay? You buy health. You buy assistance towards sustainability. You buy occupant productivity. You buy a nicer, cleaner looking facility, image enhancement. You buy preservation of your facility assets, and you buy improved safety. That is what you buy, and I hope you didn't take offense to the fact I told the two of you that you were wrong, by the way, right? That's what you buy. You see, there has to be a reason for why you spend money on cleaning supplies, on equipment, and microfiber cloths. There has to be a reason. Otherwise, and the folks from Gem don't like me to say this, but I'm going to stand up here and say it, if there's no measurable reason why you buy stuff, save your money. There has to be a reason. Honestly, how many people have ever asked themselves why? Nobody asks themselves why. Why do they clean the building? Because it just has to be clean, right? Right? No. You see, what the true power of clean tells us is that cleaning has a proven and a measurable direct impact on these things right here. This is the true power of clean. This is where we can truly make an impact. Let's go back to Dr. Butchko's statement when he said that the people who work, who are cleaning the building, the millennials, all these different generations want to have something to believe in, right? You give them something to believe in, right? That was terrible, by the way. They want to know that their work is making a difference. We are making a difference. We're making a major difference. And you see, once we understand the impact that cleaning truly has on these different business outcomes here, the things that the people who control the purse strings truly care about, that's when we can truly treat cleaning as an investment. That way, when we go in and say, hey, look, you know, I got to buy a new auto scrubber, or I got to invest in microfiber mops, or I've got to buy more disinfectant cleaner, whatever the case may be, we can say, here's why we want to do it. Does that make sense to everybody? So let's take a look at each one of these independently, right? Starting with cleaning for health, because this is the most important one. I would say it was about 10, 12 years ago when we started to see a shift in the way we looked at the cleaning industry from cleaning for appearance, making sure it looks good, to having a better understanding of this concept of cleaning for health and the very real impact that having an effectively cleaned indoor environment has on the health of the occupants. Fact of the day number one. There are 90,000 deaths per year as a result of hospital-acquired infections. This means that you went in the hospital for something and you ended up with something else. Really, really scary. 1 in 20 people will acquire an HAI. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Okay, you guys are safe. One of you folks is gonna go in the hospital for a routine procedure and is gonna end up with C. diff. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you want C. diff? No. So one of you is gonna end up with C. diff. I could promise you it's not Daisy. She's been through enough. I can't do it to Dutch because he'll get mad. You tried to interrupt me. I'm mad at Dr. Buchko for being such a good damn presenter and making me look bad. Think about that, folks. 1 in 20, who's it going to be? $30 billion in annual costs. $30 billion. And look at the bottom one right there. Hospitals are now penalized under Obamacare. 1% of their reimbursement if they're in the lowest 25% of HAIs. And if, for God forbid, you get readmitted to the hospital, they have to face additional penalties. I spent earlier this week in Las Vegas at a GPO, Group Purchasing Organization, for healthcare conference. And that's what everybody was talking about. Every single healthcare facility in there was focusing on one thing and one thing only, HAIs and readmission rates. Why? Because it costs them so much damn money. Right? And C. diff and MRSA. How about norovirus? Who remembers when norovirus was the cruise ship disease? You remember that? Like, if you were going on a cruise, there were two real, real concerns. Number one was you'd eat so much at the buffet, the ship would sink. Number two was that you'd get norovirus. Right? Well, if you read the industry press like I do, like David does, like Dr. Buchko does, you can't go more than a couple days without reading an article about how there's been a outbreak of norovirus at Javier Seafood Shack. And guess what? The last line in that article always reads the same way. Javier Seafood Shack will now be closed for a week to undergo what? Thorough cleaning and disinfecting. You see, here's the cool thing. Fact of the day number two. Studies have shown that effective cleaning can reduce the probability of infection for common cold and the flu by 80%. 80%. You see, if Javier had treated cleaning like the investment that it is, he wouldn't have had that problem. Right? He wouldn't have had that problem. We can make a difference. Scotland. I have no Scottish accent, so we're going to pretend like that was good. They had a 21-month outbreak of MRSA in their surgical ward. And finally, after 21 months, somebody said, hey, I wonder what would happen if we doubled our cleaning times. And guess what happened to the MRSA outbreak? It was gone. Now, first of all, what the hell took them 21 months? Right? Second of all, who was still going to this hospital? Right? How about this? How about hand hygiene? Hand hygiene, 21% reduction in respiratory illnesses and 35% of reduction in gastrointestinal illnesses. Hand washing and the use of EPA disinfectant wipes, there's that 80% figure. How about school buses? Anyone been on a school bus lately? Anyone? What'd you say, Amy? Amy went, ugh. That's a legal term, by the way. We learned that. That's what we used to say in the law. Ugh, right? Why'd you say ugh? Because there's a lot of gross crap going on school buses. Because kids are gross, right? 75 to 89% reduction in bacterial contamination on school buses by implementing an effective cleaning program. But the folks who control the budgets, the folks who are responsible for making the decision as toward how they're going to look at cleaning and what they're going to do with the cleaning program, they don't know these numbers at all. They don't know these numbers at all. How about preschools, right? We want to protect our children. Do we want to protect our children? I hope we want to protect our children, right? A researcher came up with a computer modeling exercise where he wanted to take a look at how much money can we save in a single preschool if we implement an effective cleaning program. All right, they were having trouble with their budgets. They're looking for more money. What happens if we invest in cleaning? First of all, the raw numbers. 24% improvement in total illnesses, 34% reduction in number of doctor visits, 24% reduction in courses of antibiotics, 46% improvement in days away from school. 46%. Per child illness costs reduce in half from $1,235 to $615. Annual savings for a preschool of $23,560. You extrapolate that to all kids in the United States, you're talking about $974 million saved. And by the way, for those of you taking photos of the slides, I'm so glad you're excited. I am more than happy to email them to you. Okay? Sound good? Yana's like, yeah, now you tell me. Great. Right. And sometimes, here's the really cool thing. We don't even have to invest another dollar to enjoy positive results. You see, if we focus on Dave Thompson's big word, education. If we focus on best practices, if we make sure that the folks who are responsible for keeping the facility clean, be they not only the cleaning service professionals, the people who clean the building, but also the occupants who are in there every single day, if we teach them to focus on frequently touched surfaces, and we tell them about the importance of things like hand hygiene and keeping your workspace neat and not eating at your desk and all these things, look at this, 80% reduction in the probability of infection for common cold and flu. Reduced number of surfaces contaminated by 62%, reducing absenteeism, here's that number again, by 46%. Elevating the level of cleanliness in buildings without increasing the annual cleaning costs. Just by educating, just by reminding people, hey, you know, cough into your elbow, make sure you wash your hands, doing all these things. And nowhere is the impact of effective cleaning more prevalent than in healthcare. Do we have any healthcare folks in the room, by the way? Any healthcare folks? No healthcare folks in the room? Think about the impact it has on you then if you enter into a healthcare facility, right? And what happens if that healthcare facility is not making a true investment in an effectively cleaned and disinfected indoor environment? 6 month study using specially educated, change slide later, cleaners and cleaning best practices. First and foremost, always identifying the frequently touched surfaces. You see, what studies showed is, for example, the tray table where you put your phone and you put your bag and all that kind of stuff, that where's the key? Where do you got to clean the tray table? They were wiping down the top, but what were they not doing? The sides, and more importantly, the bottom, because of where people touch it. Exactly, Julie, right? And look at the results. 48% reduction in C. diff, reducing individual cases of C. diff by 85, resulting in an annual savings of $413,000 for that healthcare facility. But perhaps more importantly than the dollars is, guess what? When Julie went into that hospital for a routine performance, for routine procedure, she didn't end up with C. diff, right? We took that 1 in 20 number, and we made sure that each and every person in this room, there were 20, 21, 22, 23, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 29 people, that all 29 of you were safe. And that's exactly what we want to do. So, let me challenge you real quick. The people who clean the facilities themselves, what kind of title, what do we call them? Javier, what do we call them? The people who clean our facilities. Because what did you say, Alex? Did you get the wrong name tag? Is your name Javier? Oh. Javier agrees with Alex and says, oh, sit down. You're like Daisy. You're 9. You ain't going anywhere. Custodians? Sanitary engineer. That's a cute one. Teddy, what do you got? What do you call people who clean the buildings?
Janitors?
Dutch?
Custodians?
How about this? They want something to believe in. They want to understand they're making a difference. And you know what? Here's the really cool thing. Dr. Butchko made his joke about you only been here 8 months, you don't know where the bathroom is, you barely know where the bathroom is, you've been drinking all our coffee and eating all our donuts, right? You expect to make a difference? They can make a difference from day one. From day one. And one of the most important things we can do is make sure that not only do the facility decision makers understand the impact that cleanliness has on public health, not only do we understand, not only do the fine folks from GEM understand, but you know what? Let's make sure these folks understand. Hello, how are you? You understand. That guy, right? That was perfect timing. How did we do that? He's like, oh, I was just walking through, man. Leave me alone. Let's make sure they understand. Let's make sure that the cleaning service professional, that's what I call them, right? I went to law school. I'm a lawyer by trade. I am a professional. I'll tell you something. There's a hell of a lot more integrity, and there's a hell of a lot more real, true, real-life impact in what those folks are doing than what I ever did as a lawyer. That's real. Both my wife and I, a little personal story, both my wife and I graduated from DePaul University College of Law, and today, I'm standing up here at the cleaning festival, and you know what she's doing back in Chicago, Illinois? She's walking dogs. That's true, because both of us realize that while we call lawyers, and I apologize to anyone who has family members that are lawyers, there's some great lawyers out there, we call lawyers professionals, you know what? The real people that are making an impact are the people that are affecting health every single day. I'm glad I didn't get you there, because I had like something going on there. Okay, how about number two? We got health, sustainability, going green. When most people talk about sustainability and going green, they focus on things like energy use reduction, see a lot of that, water use reduction, recycling, all this fancy stuff. But I challenge anyone to consider, what is the ultimate impact of sustainability? Do we want to protect trees for future generations? Oh, sure, yeah, of course we do, right? Do we want to reduce the amount of waste that goes to landfills? Of course we do. Right? But the number one goal of sustainability, I'm going to take you back to what we just spent 20 minutes talking about, is protecting the health and the well-being of the people who live, work, and play in our facilities every single day. That's number one. And when we think about going green and sustainability, we see that implementing a green cleaning program and making sure that we're reducing the impact on the cleaning service professional, the janitor, the custodian, sanitary engineer, somebody said? Sanitary engineer, right? My friend Javier over here said custodian. Hi, Javier. You texting how great I am on your phone, or what are you doing there? Excellent. You say, you know what Javier/Alex, your name is now Javier Alex. Javier Alex is doing right now? He's saying, we have to make sure we keep the occupants healthy. So please clean the restrooms, right? Awesome. Okay. Right? The cleaning lies at the very center of sustainability. And I've said this to many, many a corporate individual who says, we need to implement a sustainability platform. And we need to adopt a full platform that will ensure that we care about the environment. I said, well, what are you going to do about cleaning? And they say, well, cleaning's not part of sustainability. And I said to them, well, congratulations then. 6 months from now, or 1 year from now, or 18 months from right now, you're going to have 40% water use reduction and 30% energy use reduction. And you're going to have a dynamite recycling program and a beautiful rooftop garden. And you're going to have tens of workers who can't ride their bikes to work because they're in the hospital with an illness. And guess what? Then when they get in the hospital, 1 in 20 of them is going to get MRSA. Right? So green cleaning is an absolutely fantastic opportunity, because here what we're talking about is not just reducing the impact on the facility occupants, but also reducing the impact on the cleaning service professionals themselves, starting with a green cleaning policy. And this is a wonderful opportunity. I'm going to step out on a limb here because I don't know if GEM's ever promised this to you, but this is a wonderful opportunity for you to partner directly with GEM, for them to truly be your business opportunity, because they're the true experts here. This is the reason that you go to GEM, because they know their stuff. You know your stuff, right, guys? Yes? Good. Number three is productivity. Productivity in the workplace. There was a time, not that long ago, when people went to the office, they went to work, and they filled up their coffee mug, and they went to their desk, or they went to their workspace, and they worked. And then they would take a coffee break and they'd stand around the water cooler and talk about how the Cubs lost. I'm not over that yet. I'm just not, okay. And then they'd go back to their desk and they'd work. And then they'd have lunch. And you know what they did that afternoon? They'd go back to their desk and they'd work. And at the end of the day, they'd go home. And they would get to say to themselves, I worked a full productive day today. Is that true today, Dr. Butchko, in today's environment, in today's generations? No. Because of social media and because everybody's distracted by everything these days, which means that we need to squeeze as much productivity out of people as we possibly can. Even a half of a percent change in productivity can make all the difference in the world. And the good news is, once again, we can make a difference. Fact of the day number three, look at the risk. Health-related lost productivity costs $225 billion on an annual basis. But we can make an impact. Minnesota Department of Health decided to take a look at what exactly is the impact of an effectively cleaned indoor environment on the productivity of the workers. And here we're talking about the people within the building, the occupants, not just the cleaning service workers. And after they implemented their cleaning program, they found that there was a performance benefit of 3 to 8%. Now, once again, that may not seem like a lot, but think about today's environment. Every single percentage point matters, right? And we can even dollarize it. Buildings Magazine, way back in 1999, so this is a little bit dated, they wanted to do a study to take a look at what is the real financial impact of an effective cleaning program. They found a 5% productivity gain, which falls right in that 3 to 8%, correct? And once you did the math, that had a financial value to that business of $125,000. You see, when you invest in cleaning, when you understand the true power of cleaning, you're making a real difference once again on the things that Gem Supply is selling you. And they're selling you improvements in productivity. Does that make sense to everybody? I know I'm starting to move through this pretty quickly now, but I think we're getting close to lunch, and that's when everybody starts to, their focus starts to waver. How about in an elementary school? This one's really interesting. So we all care about kids once again. Charles Young Elementary wanted to take a look at what is the impact of a full cleaning program at a school. First and foremost, student attendance before, 89%. After, 93%. That's cool, kids are in school, that's awesome. But what does that really mean to the business manager in that school? What does it mean? It means money. It means money because the state reimbursement for school is based on student attendance, right? And for each day a child is out, it's different from state to state, but the national average is something like, you ready for this? $32,000 per student per day. So a 4% impact, holy moly, we didn't just have to cancel the music program because now we got the dollars to pay for it. Right? Attitude, student attitude from apprehensive to energetic and happy. From teachers went from frustrated to positive and proactive. Health complaints frequent to much reduced. How about the test scores? How about the performance of the students themselves? Are they having success in the school? Before, 49% of those students finished in the lowest or finished below the national average for on the math standardized tests. After the cleaning program, only 24% finished below. Reading scores, not quite as dramatic, but we took it from 41% down to 25%. Students are happy, the teachers are happy, the parents are happy, the school board's happy, superintendent's happy, the business manager's happy, the community's happy. Why? Because we treated cleaning as an investment. Image enhancement. I can talk all day long about this shift from cleaning for appearance toward cleaning for health, and it's very real, right? Because we need to keep our building occupants healthy, but appearance still matters. How do you feel when you go into a facility that's unclean? You feel ugh. What was your word again? Was it ugh? Ugh. You feel ugh, right? You don't want to be there at all, right? It's not a comfortable place to be. And fact of day number four, in a survey of Americans, cleanliness ranked as the most important factor in selecting a restaurant. Number one, not the food, not the service, cleanliness, number one. Nobody wants to eat in a dirty restaurant. Quick service restaurants, right? Atmospheric elements. Look at cleanliness is the green one at the bottom. Tied with taste. Above accuracy, above quality, above temperature. So people would technically rather order a cheeseburger in a clean indoor environment and receive a fish sandwich that was cold than get their piping hot cheeseburger in a dirty environment. Because as soon as you take that cheeseburger and you look and there's gross stuff on the floor, you're like, ugh, right? I love it, ugh. Right? Same is true in stores. How do we feel in stores? Atmospheric elements, look at that one. Cleanliness was number one on the list. The most important thing. And you know what? Businesses are starting to understand this. Last spring break, my father lives down in Estero, Florida, right outside of Fort Myers. And I decided to pack up the whole family, all three kids, the wife. We got in the car and we decided to drive all the way from beautiful Chicago, Illinois to Estero, Florida. And we got into the doldrums, which is also known as the state of Georgia. Right? And we're driving through Georgia and we're looking for anything to get our attention. Anything at all. Oh no, my slide is not up there. So I'll have to just tell you about it. And what did we see in the middle of Georgia? Gigantic billboards for a rest stop that said what?
Clean restrooms.
You have seen the movie before, haven't you? Clean restrooms. They weren't promoting the fact that you could get, you know, Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola for 79 cents for a 20-ounce bottle. They weren't promoting the fact that you could get lottery tickets or whatever the case may be. Gigantic. And when I send you guys the slides, I'm going to add that slide because it's a really cool picture. Clean restrooms. And here's the other thing. This has never been more important than it is today. Never. Here's why. Because let's say that I went to Javier's Seafood Shack. Congratulations, you reopened your Seafood Shack. Very good. You know, you had the outbreak and now you're good. Let's say I went to Javier's Seafood Shack and the food was delicious, service was outstanding, but the facility wasn't clean, right? And I was, frankly, I was ugh. So I called my friend Amy, because she's my ugh girl, and I said, you know what, Amy? I went to Javier's Seafood Shack, the floors were dirty, restroom was kind of gross, and Amy went, oh, that stinks, right? And Amy told Julie, and Julie went, ugh. And it ended there. That was the end. What happens today, right? I tell Amy, and then I go and I post it on Yelp. And Amy tells Julie, and she links to it, right? Now, across the country, Javier Alex, right, is looking for a place to eat seafood. And he says, oh, Javier's Seafood Shack. That sounds delightful, right? And he goes to Yelp, and what does he see? He sees the review. And so does Julio Alex. I'm giving you all names now. And so does Paul Alex and Teddy Alex, right? Javier, what happens to your Seafood Shack? Nobody's coming to eat there. We successfully put Javier out of business because we live in the age of user-controlled reputation. 53% of TripAdvisor users will not book a hotel with negative reviews. And I'll admit that I almost always, when I'm booking and I do a lot of travel for work, I always look and see, you know? I look at TripAdvisor to see what people have to say. 70% of hotel guests say cleanliness and hygiene are the most important factor when making a hotel reservation. And this is not just true of hotels, it's true of restaurants, right? If you went to Yelp and you saw negative reviews about the cleanliness of Javier's Seafood Shack, are you going there, Daniel? You're not going there, right? Nobody's going there. Asset preservation. This is a bit of a tough one. So far, once again, to review. We've gone through health. We got health. We got sustainability, which is tied so closely to health. We got productivity of occupants. We've got image enhancement, making sure the facility looks good. Okay? Number five is asset preservation. Asset preservation essentially means that when we take care of our facilities, when we clean the carpeting or the hard floors on a scheduled basis, they are simply going to last longer. Right? Now I get it. Most people think about, what is this going to cost me today? And this requires more of a holistic view of the total cost of cleaning. But let's say that in a lot of the carpet manufacturers, a lot of the floor machine guys, the folks at GEM may even have some of this information. I apologize for not putting it in there. But let's say that the carpeting is expected to last 25 years. Okay? How is the business manager, that facility, going to feel if you've got to replace it after 11 years or 12 years or 13 years? What'd you say? Not too happy at all. You see, it has been proven that when we take care of the facility assets, when we take care of the flooring and these different things, it will last its normal life. And like I said, the carpet and the floor machine, carpet and the floor manufacturers can share this data with you. The folks with the floor machines, you guys have this data, Paul, by the way? Yeah, I'm sure they can get it for you, just to help you guys make the argument that this is why we need a scheduled program. Number six is safety. And here the equation is very simple. Clean equals safe equals reduced costs. And let's start with slips, trips, and falls, a really serious place. And here's the thing. I told you I graduated from law school in 1998. So did my wife. Neither of us practice law anymore, but we have an awful lot of friends who still practice law, and they are very, very nice men and women. But here's the key. They want to sue you. They want to sue your facility, right? And they're not so nice when they sue you, are they? There are 25,000 slips, trips, and falls in the workplace every single day. It is the number one cause of accidents in hotels, restaurants, and public buildings, and 85% of workers' comp claims are related to slips, trips, and falls. And by keeping a clean indoor environment, we can help protect against this. It's not just that. How about insurance premiums, right? How about cleaning worker safety, making sure we're cleaning them as well? So six areas where we can make a difference. Six things that GEM Supply is selling you, that you are buying from them. They are selling you improvements in health, occupant health. They are selling you assistance toward your sustainability platform and green cleaning, if that is something you're interested in. They are selling you improved productivity, occupant productivity in the workplace. They are selling you image enhancement. They are selling you asset preservation, and they are selling you safety. But here's the key. It is time for a change. It is time for each and every one of us to take a look in the mirror and say, are we doing everything that we need to do in order to make sure that we are in position to have an effectively cleaned indoor environment, right? David and I always talk about training and education. He, of course, prefers the word education. And we always will sit there over a beverage and we will just shake our heads at the way far too many facilities treat the training of cleaning workers these days. You know, we've both heard the arguments against training, right? David Frank, known industry consultant, is always known to say, well, a lot of people worry about turnover amongst cleaning service professionals. It can be 200%, hell, it can be 400%, right? And so the question is always asked, well, what if I invest in training and they leave? That's a fair question, right? You don't want to spend the money to train them knowing turnover is so high and they could just be right out the door. And he always responds by saying, what if you don't train them and they stay? What are we putting at risk? The health of the occupants, the productivity, right? Having to replace the carpet after 10 years. You see, it is up to each and every one of us in the industry to take the lead. This is why I go around the country talking about this concept of power of clean. That it is up to each and every one of us to truly make an investment in an effective cleaning environment. And do not do it because some nut job Dan Wagner stood up here and told you to. Don't do it because David Thompson said it's a good idea to go through the ACE program under GEM. Don't do it because Dr. Butchko tells you that the workers, you can keep working on your phone, by the way. You know what, just because I said your name, you don't have to look up, you're good. Don't do it just because Dr. Butchko told you that the workers need to mean something. Do it because of the business outcomes. Do it because of the real measurable proven impact that it has on the things that the business managers care about. Right? Once again, I shared with you some studies in these different areas. There haven't been a ton of people who have studied the impact of cleanliness on these different things, but the studies that are out there are extremely powerful and they tell quite a story. And wouldn't it be incredible if you guys also had your own story? If you guys were able to, you know, I'm not sure of what everybody's role is in here in terms of setting the cleaning budget and deciding on the specifications and those types of things, but what if you were able to show business manager, who you had to justify your budget to, you know what? Yeah, we want more money so we can buy more stuff from GEM and we can have a more effectively cleaned indoor environment and we want to make an investment in training. And here's why. Here is the difference that we know that it can make. Does that make sense to everybody? You see, the very first thing to do, you have to ask yourself some very key questions. First of all is the why. Why do I care about a clean indoor environment? What are my goals? If you're in a school district, it's likely going to be what? Student attendance, student performance. There goes a balloon. But how about a third one? Any school folks in here? Yes, sir? Okay, you got student attendance, right? You got student performance. You have any clue, Javier Alex, what the number one discretionary spend for a school district is? Number one variable discretionary spend, it is substitute teachers. Do you know that? Substitute teachers, number one. Right? Think about it. It's about $118 per day in most school districts to hire a substitute teacher. And guess what? The teachers get sick too. Because they're dealing with all the ick. Right? I love the look on your face. Hey, you guys can't see Amy, but when she thinks of ick, she goes, ick. Like her ear is funny. It's great. I love it. Right? How about healthcare? This is an interesting one. So, you know, I challenged a lot of our Triple S members, GEM Supply being one of our 122 members across the country. I challenged a number of them at a regional meeting. I said, how many of you sell the healthcare? And a lot of them raised their hand. I said, what is the number one complaint of the EVS department, that's environmental services, the people that clean the patient rooms and the operating room? I said, what is the number one complaint of patients for the EVS staff, the people who clean their room? Anyone want to guess? Number one complaint, what do you think it is? Dirty uniform? That's an interesting one, but no, that's a really interesting one. Number one complaint, most people say restroom wasn't cleaned, right? Or something smells. The number one complaint from healthcare folks to the EVS staff is noise, especially the noise of the cleaning carts and the different equipment. Now, I want you to think of the value in knowing this information, of having clearly defined understanding of what the goals are. Let's take it from GEM Supply's perspective, right? If you know that's true, when you go in to talk to your healthcare customers, what are you going to talk to them about? Talk to them about noise, aren't you? Right? You're not just going to go in there and say, hey, I've got some fantastic new microfiber mops that you should buy. No, you're going to talk about the things they care about. So the first step is for you guys to say, have you established your specific goals? All right. What kind of facility in, sir?
Coca-Cola.
Okay, so industrial facility, warehouse? Okay, so your number one, probably one of your keys in a warehouse facility would be productivity of the workers, correct? All right, number one is going to be productivity for you. Now, in order for us to move the needle on productivity and to make an impact, we have to make sure, what did we learn? We have an effectively cleaned indoor environment, right? So what's the first thing in getting an effectively cleaned indoor environment? The answer's up there. What is it, David Thompson? We need to train and educate our workers to clean effectively, right? Okay, so we know that we want a more productive people within the facility. We know cleaning can make an impact. Anyone want to argue with me about that? If you want to argue with me, I'm going to put that Minnesota Department of Health study back up there and show you the impact it can have. Now we're going to clean them. Now, do you have all the facility and the data information that the cleaning service professional is going to need? The days of giving a cleaning service professional worker the mop and the bucket and telling them to go clean are over. They are over. We can no longer do that. We have to make sure we have the information. Then, are we in fact cleaning the facility effectively? Right? Are we using the right products? Do we have the right processes? Do we have the right labor efficiency? And then key is, are you tracking those metrics? Can you prove, when your business manager goes up to you, if you don't make those end decisions, and says to you, well, I think we really ought to cut the budget, do you have the right data in order to say, well, if we cut the budget, we're going to need to not clean the restroom every single day, or we're going to need to skip clean the desks, right? We're going to need to do those types of things. And then are we in fact, I just totally had a complete and total brain cramp there. Are we in fact tracking those metrics to make sure that we can clearly and without a doubt demonstrate the impact that we're having? So what at the end of the day is the true impact of the power of clean? What can you all as facility decision makers and as end users expect? Well, first and foremost, helping go green and committing to sustainability, controlling and improving the consistency, the quality, and the efficiency of service, right? Reducing costs associated with poor service. Occupant wellness. This is the number one I want to focus on, folks, right? That's why we spent the majority of our time at the very beginning talking about this whole concept of cleaning for health. The studies that are out there are very, very clear that we can make a difference. Having a better appearance, and at the end of the day, what's it really about? It's about saving money. It's about having an impact on that bottom line and showing what most facility decision makers today do not understand, and that's the true power of clean. A daily investment for a brighter future, protecting people where it matters most. Now, I usually end with this slide right here, which is my contact information, but here's the bottom line. I switch it to this slide now where it says, we are here to help. As a member of the SSS distribution network, GEM Supply has immediate and ready access to the entire SSS team. Not only myself, but some of you may have been here yesterday to hear from Ray Ranger. Ray Ranger is the true expert in healthcare. Kevin Chow, Key Number, the entire team. If you ever need any assistance whatsoever, A, you can call me directly. My information's right up there. You got my email, you got my cell number. Or you can reach out to the folks at GEM, and they are more, you know, they know that they can immediately reach out to us. Folks, you all took the first step today by making an investment in your with your time, right? It's hard to get out of the office. It's hard to get away today. It really is. But you guys took the first step by making that investment by being here today. I know I speak on behalf of the entire GEM Supply team in thanking you all for being here. It has been a true privilege to have a chance to stand up in front of you and talk to you about something that I am absolutely incredibly passionate about, and that is the power of clean. I will tell you something. When I practiced law for 2 years, hated every single minute of it, took a job with a group called the International Sanitary Supply Association. They're a nonprofit association in the cleaning industry. And when I first took that job, my friends were all excited. They said, hey, Dan, we heard you got a new job. And they said, what industry are you in? I said, They said, no, what industry are you in? And at the time, my primary job was to help a lot of the ISSA members, distributors, manufacturers, end users like yourselves, understand the laws that that impacted cleaning chemicals. So in other words, if you wanted to ship a cleaning chemical under DOT, Department of Transportation, what laws affected you? What were the OSHA laws in the workplace? And I looked at my friends and I said, I'm in the chemical industry. Why did I say that? Because I was embarrassed. Because the cleaning industry wasn't, Yana, what's that word again?
Sexy.
It wasn't sexy. Right? I was going to be lawyer guy. Hey, Dan Wagner, lawyer. I get to wear suits every single day and look important. You know what? There are a lot of lawyers out there that look really important, and they're not doing anything important. What I'm doing every single day, what the cleaning service professionals do every single day, what you all do every single day is what's important. Because what our number one responsibility is once again, is to protect the health and well-being of our people in our building every day. So please, when you have questions, when you need assistance, I know that GEM Supply has made it their mission to no longer be your Jansan supplier. They want to be your partner, right? And they want to help you answer the question of why. They want to sell you that why. Now we just all have to work together to prove that we can make it happen. Thank you all very much for being here today.